Hi, this is Alonzo Bowden. I want to welcome you to episode 216 of my podcast, Who's Paying Attention? And, you know, it's been a little while since I did a podcast. It's actually been a couple of weeks. The reason is I was trying to wait for a day where a white person didn't call the cops on black people. And I guess I'd be waiting forever. That day's not coming. So since we last spoke, there was a manager who called the cops on three teenagers shopping at Nordstrom Rack in Brentwood, Missouri. A woman called the police because there were black people at a house, which was an Airbnb in Rialto, California. She waved. They didn't wave back. She called the police. One of those women was Bob Marley's granddaughter. At Yale, you probably heard about this. There was a black graduate student taking a nap in one of the common rooms, and a white student called the cops on her. We all know about the woman who called the cops on the black family having a cookout in Oakland. We're going to talk about that some more, or maybe you've seen the meme. She's calling the cops on everybody. In Memphis, Tennessee, there was a black real estate investor looking at one of the houses he bought because he's a real estate investor. So a woman called the cops on him. Those cops were great, though. They actually told him he was fine, he could do his work, and if this woman harassed him anymore, they'd come back and arrest her. So that was great. At Hobby Lobby in Alabama, and, well, listen, if you're black and you're in Hobby Lobby in Alabama, you know there's going to be trouble. So I can't even say this one's a surprise, but they called the cops on a man because he was returning something. He had the receipt, the original packaging. He was returning it, and they said, just hold on. We have to call the corporate office to check on this. And what they were really doing was calling the police to come check on him, and the police took his ID. They ran wants and warrants. Mind you, he's returning something with the receipt because he looked like someone who may have stolen something at some point in the past, which is suspicion enough. But again, my man, you ain't got no business in Hobby Lobby, particularly not in Alabama. I'm not done yet. A white woman called security on a suspicious black man with a baby in the park. It was his kid. He's a little dark-skinned. The baby's light-skinned, so she figured something's wrong here. He also happened to be a lawyer. Fortunately, he was a nice guy, and when security asked him, he just kind of talked to them and let it go. Okay, that's this update. I know I'm missing, you know, some other stories of people calling the cops. Listen, I'm not taking a chance anymore. And from here on out, everything I do, I'm just going to the police station to do it. If I need to shop, I'm ordering it from Amazon. I will pick it up at the police station. If I need to meet you, we are going to meet at a police station and talk there. I'll just Airbnb is, well, they don't really like giving Airbnbs to black people anyway, so that I don't mess with that. Hobby Lobby, yeah, right. I don't have a hobby. I got no business in the lobby. I don't have kids. If you have a child and you want me to babysit your child, I hope your child likes the waiting room at the police station because it's the only place I can be. See, because then it saves them the trouble of coming to get me. They're just like, oh, yeah, it's Alonzo. He's babysitting. He brings the baby here, so we don't have to go look for him. White people, stop calling the cops. Just stop it, because it's only a matter of time before one of these escalates into a shooting, and guess who's going to get shot? We know that's going to happen. What are they so... Oh, and it's not just black people. By the way, there were two Native American kids who were at, I believe it was Colorado State University or University of Colorado. They were on a tour because they're new students. And one of the mothers of a white new student felt that they looked a little shaky. Can't be they Native American. They couldn't actually be college students. So she called the cops and found out, yeah, these kids were accepted to the school, and from what I understand and reading about it, it's shyness is kind of a cultural thing with them, so they weren't talking. They were kind of hanging out with each other and doing this tour, minding their business, hey, there's a concept. Mind your fucking business, okay? Try it, Becky. I feel bad about that because I actually know a very funny comic named Becky Robinson. Sorry, Beck. You got to take the hit on this. We call you Beckys. I know it's prejudice. I'm a horrible person. Anyway, I can't imagine living that much in fear. See, and this is a thing. This is a cultural and a racial thing. Because if you're a Black or Latin or Native American or any person of color, you have to deal with white society. At some point, you have to go somewhere in white society, whether it be a business, banking, you know, some kind of legal transaction where you have to go to a courthouse, something. You're going to deal with white society. And we know it. It's part of life. But if you're white, you may have never had to deal with a person of color. And you may only believe that all people of color are criminals or suspicious or rapists or robbers or whatever it is you believe. And you're scared. But how do you live that scared? And the thing about many of these situations where people are calling the police on Black people, like the cookout in Oakland or the man with his baby in Washington, D.C., these are areas that have been gentrified. So what's going on is white people are moving in and pushing out people of color who live there and then calling the police on the people of color who remain or who still come there or still for whatever reason. That's amazing. But deeper than that, are you really that scared? You just see a person of color and you call the police? The police get caught in the middle on this because, yeah, there are some racist police that go along with it, but like the police in Memphis, Tennessee, they're the ones who are like, are you kidding me? Are you wasting my time because you saw a Black person, you called the cops? And they're as upset as anybody because it makes them look bad. It makes them look like their job is to enforce your racism and so on. So I don't blame the cops in this one. I just hope that we don't have that horrible intersection between a racist cop and it would probably be a younger Black male who's just tired of this shit, like you're shopping in Nordstrom for your, you know, prom. And people call the cops. They're following you around the store, and they don't see you do anything, but they call the cops just in case. Because, you know, you're such a good thief that you probably stole something and nobody saw it. You know, maybe you're a magician. You're not just a thief. You're a sleight of hand magician. So you managed to steal. They were following you. They were watching you. You still managed to steal something. So they have to call the cops on you. I don't know, but fear. Fear, fear, fear. Okay? I've been a large Black man most of my life. I know what it's like to have people scared of you for no reason. I tell them all the time, we are not Vikings. I am not going to attack you for no reason. Oh, man, I hope you don't get mad. No, stop it. Leave me alone. I'll leave you alone. It's called minding your business. Yeah, it's amazing. I'm going to move into your neighborhood. And then I'm going to call the cops on you because I don't think you belong in the neighborhood that you were in the first place. I read, and this is, I love this story. I mean, this kid, I wish this kid the absolute best. In Louisville, Kentucky, his name is Kayunta. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. Kayunta Goodwin. Kayunta Goodwin is 6'7", 370 pounds, and he can move. He's in the eighth grade. This kid, they're already, the college football factories are already looking at him. They say that he's already bigger than most NFL linemen. The kid is huge. He's athletic. His mom is 6'3", so it's not like, you know, it's unheard of that he was going to be big. But he's huge. Now, sadly, when I read this story about this kid, my first thought, man, I hope the cops don't kill him. And I hate that that's my thought, but we all know it could easily happen. To be that big and that young, you know, the police tell him to do something, he doesn't understand it, or he's just clowning around because he's a kid, or the cop just shoots him because he's that big and Black. And don't tell me it doesn't happen, because it absolutely does. man, I wish this kid luck. I hope, I'm not going to say I hope he stays on the straight and narrow. He's fine. He's fine. I hope he doesn't encounter a bad cop. I hope he's allowed to reach his potential as a human being. And finally, on the subject of these people calling the police on black people, particularly this idiot woman up in Oakland, payback's a bitch, you know, and payback, they say revenge is delicious or tasty or best served cold. Nah, revenge is best at the cookout, the 510 cookout. Seems every year on May 10th, in Oakland, they have the 510 cookout. In the park that she complained about black people cooking out, hundreds of black people come in and they have a huge barbecue and a party because they're celebrating Oakland being black. They're celebrating Oakland before gentrification, et cetera. So they're celebrating the 510. That's their area code. Man, that poor woman must have been on the phone. That I'm sure she was just calling direct to the White House. She was like, we're going to need National Guard out here. There's hundreds of them, and they're cooking chicken. That's right, chicken. I hope they were cooking chicken and eating watermelon and dancing and, hell, some shucking and jiving. I hope there was a little shucking and jiving going on just to bother the hell out of this woman. Hey, lady, leave. Get out of Oakland. You're not welcome there. The people there are fine. The people I was there, I lived in Oakland umpteen years ago. Oakland is what we used to call a chocolate city, like D.C. or Atlanta or, you know, black cities. Oakland was a black city in the Bay Area. They were there first, lady. If you can't handle them cooking out, if you are so upset over them having charcoal and meat in a public park, move. They're not the problem. You are. Now, when you move, you may have trouble driving, because the price of gas is going up. You have to have noticed. I live in California. We're over $4 a gallon. I won't be surprised to see $5 a gallon premium by summertime, because gas is going up, oil is going up. The economists are predicting $100 a barrel, maybe $150 a barrel. I guess the coal thing isn't working out. I guess, you know, we were going to make America great again. We're going to start coal mining and build some of those coal-powered cars. And, I guess not. So it'll be interesting how this plays out. You know, obviously, trucks and SUVs have been the big sellers because we have cheap gas. And keep in mind, even at $4 or $5 a gallon on the world scale, our gas is cheap. You try to tell a European that gas, oh my God, it's $5 a gallon. They'd love $5 a gallon. But price is going up. Pick your cause. It could be, some are saying the economy is doing well, so people are working and they're moving and they're driving again. Oil companies love the refinery. It's the refineries. We can't refine enough fuel. Who runs the refineries? Well, we do, but don't worry about that. So, for whatever reason, the price of gas is going up. So, you may not be able to drive to have your little cookout. So have it locally, unless you can drive to Oakland and go to the park, which is the best place in America for a cookout in perpetuity, forever and ever. This price of gas thing sucks. I mean, I ride motorcycles. I guess I'll be riding more. But if you just bought an Expedition or an Escalade or a Navigator, which, by the way, is the most badass new truck I've seen. I love the new Lincoln Navigator. They nailed it on this one. And Ford has just made a decision. This is interesting. Ford's going to stop selling cars. They said they're doing away with their sedans, the Taurus, and I don't even know what they're called anymore. You know the sedans you get at the rent-a-car place. Anyway, Ford's doing away with all of those, and they're just going to sell crossovers and SUVs and trucks. That's what they claim. And now the price of gas is going up. So let's see how this plays out. I hope they build a coal-powered F-150. Could anything be more American, some bitch, than a coal-powered Ford F-150 pickup truck? Some bitch. Just come with a Harley Davidson in the back. That's right. Anyway, what's the orange idiot doing? Gosh, I hate talking about this guy. But, well, you know, he pulled out of the Iran nuclear deal. Not that he understood it. He just knew that Barack Obama had signed it, so he had to pull out of it. And the day after he did, the rockets started flying over the Gaza Strip between Israel and Iran-backed people in the Gaza Strip. It is a mess. It is very complicated. And, you know, Trump is liked by many Israelis for moving the U.S. embassy to Jerusalem, which many Arab countries or Muslim countries considered wrong. Even, I don't know if, somewhere between offensive and it angered them. I'm sorry, I'm looking for the right word. Provocative. Maybe, you know, but anyway, it was something he did. American presidents have said they're going to do it. Trump actually did it. People are very upset on the world stage, but Israelis are very happy because Jerusalem is the home of the world's three major religions. You know, they started in that area, the Middle East, and they've been fighting over who owns that city for literally for thousands of years. And I'm damn sure not going to tell you that I know who owns it. I've been there. Fascinating, the history. To go to Israel, I was in Israel in the early 2000s. What I took away from it, what amazed me, is the guidebook for Israel could be the Bible. Like, it's literally, you know, this is the Valley of Armageddon and the River Jordan, and this is Bethlehem, and so amazing. Who owns it? I can't say. I'm not going to say. I will say that Donald Trump doesn't understand it. I can confidently say that. He has no idea. He just did this because it was a populist move. And I feel bad. People are dying, you know. And I'm actually going there. I'm going to Israel the end of next week. I'm doing a tour there, a fundraising tour, with a great comic named Avi Lieberman. So I don't think I'm going to be in any danger. Matter of fact, I'm 98% sure. You know, they don't take comics anywhere dangerous. They got better things to do than worry about securing the comics. But for the people dying, I hope they work this out. I had a very interesting commentary from a friend who is Israeli. It's a woman from Israel, and she's very pro-Trump because he did this and saying it should have been done and so on. But at the same time, she's a woman, and she has dealt with sexual harassment at work. She has dealt with being groped at work, and she said that when men get away with it, they believe in the culture they're allowed to keep getting away with it. So I find that very interesting. It's like, well, you support Donald Trump for what he did for Israel, but you don't like getting groped at work. Well, you got to take the good with the bad. If you take Donald Trump, then as a woman, you take getting groped at work, because that's part of his game. That's part of the game of men like him. That's part of the rules. It's okay. So, yeah, I think you got to take both. I think if you get one, you got to take both. Again, it's my opinion. You know why? It's my podcast. I'm allowed to have these opinions, I think. I'm not sure. We could go into, you know, the other things going on, the insults at the White House about John McCain, the fact that the Republican Party congressmen met with Donald Trump and they won't mention the insult. And what one of Trump's staffers said, don't worry about McCain, he's dying anyway. And, you know, they don't give a shit. See, that's the thing. They don't care. There's nothing that's going to be so outrageous or so horrible, or, oh, I can't believe they did this. There's nothing. Yeah, you can believe they did this. Why wouldn't you believe they did this? What they're doing, everything they've done, just fits into the existing, I don't know, narrative of what they do. So you can't, if you can't believe it, well, suck it up, because it's reality. Okay? Plain and simple. Rudy Giuliani's law firm. He left his law firm so he can defend Donald Trump full time. You know, it started with his defense of saying that, you know, this whole Michael Cohen thing, like, oh yeah, Rudy was like, yeah, I do that stuff for clients all the time. Yeah, cover up for them. Pay. Yeah, that's what you do as a lawyer. That's not the lawyer I want, right? If I'm doing dirt, I don't want my lawyer to publicly say, oh yeah, doing dirt, that's my job. I do that all the time. Yeah, we all know. You probably just don't want him to say that. But anyway, he's got Rudy. Good luck. John Bolton is the one to be afraid of. You heard it talked about the minute he brought John Bolton on that there was going to be war. And looking at Iran and looking at North Korea, this is what these guys like. They like war. So I guess that's that. Moving on. The Supreme Court has made sports gambling legal. I have no moral judgment on this. If you want to gamble, have fun. The funny thing about this is, once again, the rich will get richer, the poor will get poorer, meaning people who own casinos and sports books and so on are going to make a lot more money, because people who don't have the money to gamble, who think that it's going to get them out of the hole, what they're going to be gambling on sports. And they're going to lose a lot of money. That's how it works. We'll see how it plays out. I have no moral judgment on this. And don't worry, the evangelicals, they're not going to judge you, because they're still looking for the porn star loophole. They still got to work that out. It's funny, all our vices are now becoming legal. Marijuana, sports gambling, like everything that, you know, this is why criminals can't make any money, because everything that they used to do is now being done by the government. It's the daily lotteries. When I was a kid, they used to call that the numbers, playing the numbers. Now it's a daily lottery. So what do you, I don't know. And now Pahrump, and in various counties in Nevada, they're trying to ban prostitution. They'll probably ban it just in time for it to become legal nationwide. And I have no problem with it. It'd be nice if they, you know, government got into something important, like, oh, I don't know, gun control. But no, we'll just stick with the sports gambling. Let's see how this plays out. I mean, listen, the Super Bowl is a billion-dollar gambling day. The NCAA tournament, huge, huge. Everyone's got a skin in the game, betting on the tournament, and the, you know, what's your bracket and how far did you go and stuff like that. Everyone makes money on that. I've said it before, I'll say it again, except the kids playing. They don't make a dime, but it's big business, and now it's legal. And I guess it's going to be, because of a Supreme Court decision, I guess it'll be legal across state lines. Probably be run by the big casinos in Vegas, but we'll see. We'll see how that plays out. What else is going on? You know, the South is the South. You guys are unique. So there are elections going on in Georgia. Georgia is trying to elect a new governor, and it's very funny what works down there as far as campaigning. So we had the Secretary of State of Georgia did a commercial, and he had a kid sitting there. I don't know if you've seen this commercial, but it's just great. The candidates, you think that this is a movie, but it's real life. There's one candidate, Michael Williams, and he's campaigning on a deportation bus tour. He's got a school bus, Michael Williams for governor, deportation bus. It says, danger, murderers, rapists, kidnappers, child molesters, and other criminals on board. Below that, it says, follow me to Mexico. He's taking him back to Mexico, which, you know, actually he could be taking back Trump and a lot of Trump's friends, but this is his campaign. It's a whole anti-Mexican thing, because we know that there's a ton of Mexicans in Georgia raping and whatever else. Then you have Brian Kemp, who is currently the Secretary of State in Georgia. So this isn't some crazy candidate. This guy's already in the government. He did a commercial where he's holding a double-barrel shotgun. There's a bunch of other guns in the room, and he talks to this teenage kid about, you know, the Second Amendment, and if you want to date one of my daughters, you got to have a healthy appreciation for the Second Amendment. And he points the shotgun at the kid, and then he was criticized for it, and he's like, what's the big deal? Well, even NRA members said that you never point a gun at a person unless you plan to use it. Accidents happen. We call those Florida. How many children in Florida have been shot by accident, killed by accident? And this commercial, if you showed it to anyone from another country, other than the Arabs, they all tourists. If you showed it to anyone from another country, they'd be like, are you insane? This guy's going to run for governor? Yeah, he's going to run for governor. The deportation bus, no racism there. Nothing. If you're a person of color in Georgia, you're probably fine with the deportation bus. I would say it's beyond belief, but nope, business as usual. And this is in the mighty, mighty South. So, you know what else is in the South? The most miserable states in the USA. I'm wrong. I'm an asshole. But I do love this. A Gallup poll about the well-being of Americans says it hasn't really improved in the past 6 years, which some of which are Obama years, and it declined slightly. But the well-being index, this is states with high well-being scores. Residents were less likely to smoke, more likely to exercise regularly. They learned new things, lower obesity rates, lower health problems. Just, you know, your well-being, your how you living. How you living? Living pretty good. So, states with lowest well-being typically have low median household incomes, don't have access to basic needs like healthy food, clean water, medicine, etc., etc. Obviously, well-being goes up when income goes up. Low income impairs well-being. So you get the idea. You get the idea of what well-being is. And Gallup poll, 24/7 Wall Street, they check these things and they look at the states with the highest well-being and the lowest. Well, let's go with the miserable. Oh, we also have working things like life expectancy and violent crime. So let me read you the 10 most miserable states and let's try to figure out what they have in common. Number 10, Louisiana. Number 9, Oklahoma. Number 8, Missouri. Number 7, Tennessee. Number 6, Arkansas. Number 5, Ohio. Number 4, Alabama. Number 3, Mississippi. Number 2, Kentucky. And the most miserable state in America, West Virginia. So what I'm counting out of 10, 10 out of 10 are red states. And 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I'd argue that 7 of them our southern states. Things ain't going so good. And West Virginia, aren't you supposed to be mining that coal by now? Isn't that supposed to be making America great again? Ain't you done? Don't you have some coal? The numbers speak for themselves. Now, cost of living. I was surprised. Cost of living's low in these states. I was surprised, honestly, to see Tennessee on this list because I know Nashville, Tennessee is a great city, kind of a booming city. Memphis, Tennessee does all right, and I'm sure there are a lot of related suburbs doing okay, but I guess there's a lot of small towns that aren't doing so okay. And this is, I guess it's semi-knock against the people of these states. But, you know, you made your choices. And it's good to see Georgia fighting to get on that list. You know, you get you a gun-toting, Mexican-deporting governor, and I'm sure you can make the cut. You're just not trying hard enough, Georgia. You could bump Tennessee off that list. You can knock Oklahoma out of the box. Step it up. Step up your misery. Make America proud, some bitch. That's all I got. Again, please don't call the cops on me for doing this podcast. Wow. In sports, which you know I love, tough one for the home team. LeBron James, he's playing great, but the Cavs are getting their ass kicked by Boston. Houston's getting their ass kicked by Golden State, which means we could be probably looking at a Boston versus Golden State finals in the NBA, which means, I won't be watching. So that's that. Baseball, Yankees and Red Sox is a great thing for baseball. They're battling again. And with all due respect to Arizona, Yankees and Red Sox battling is what's going to be going on in baseball. Hockey, I'm sorry, I'm not a fan. I don't know. I can't comment. I won't comment on something I don't know. Isn't that interesting? My whole podcast is me commenting on shit I don't know. I thank you for listening. I'm going to be in Vegas Friday night. It's a little show, but a fun show called The Dirty at 12:30. It's 12:30 Friday night at the South Point Casino in Las Vegas. And next week, as I said, I'm going to Israel. I'll try to get another podcast done before I go. We'll see how many more black people had the cops called on them in the coming week. And that's it. That's all I got. Thank you for listening. Thanks for paying attention. I love and appreciate you guys' support. This is Alonzo Bowden. Have a great week.